7 KALW San Francisco. And we have just a few seconds left out of fresh air to remind you that you need to pledge and support KALW. And we are the station that brings you fresh air. 800-525-9917 or online KALW.org. We had a goal of 12 pledges for this hour. 3 is the magic number. We need 3 more pledges to make goal, so you can do it. We still have a few seconds left. If 3 of you would step forward and help us out, we can do it. 800-525-9917 or make your pledge online at KALW.org.
Tina Fey, Richard Pryor, Woody Allen, David Rakoff. These are just some of the voices that can be yours on your very own Fresh Air USB flash drive. It's 26 years and over 100 voices from Fresh Air, all at a $120 pledge. That's 30 cents a day. Call us at 1-800-525-9917.
You can put that $120 pledge on credit card at $10 a month for the next year. 800-525-9917. We're asking 3 of you to step forward, pledge your support to KALW, help us meet this goal for this hour of fresh air. 800-525-9917. That's 800-KALW-917. Your legal rights is next on KALW. The topic is compliance with the American Disabilities Act. Chuck Finney's guests are San Francisco Board of Supervisors David Chu, Regina Dick Andreese, Executive Director of the San Francisco Office of Small Business, Architect Bassam Altwal, Attorney Jason Gong, and Carol Kahn with San Francisco Bar's Lawyer Referral Service. If you have a question for Chuck and his guests, call 841-4134. That's 841-4134. For long distance, call 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134. And now, here's your legal rights.
This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're doing the Americans with Disabilities Act compliance for business owners. We'll be abbreviating that to ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act. My guests are David Chu, President of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, Regina Dick Andreese, Executive Director of the San Francisco Office of Small Business, Bassam Altwal, Architect and Certified Access Specialist, Jason Gong, an attorney who advises and defends business and property owners sued for alleged ADA violations, and Carol Kahn, Director of the Public Service Programs for the Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral and Information Service. We're going to have a lot of great information for you on this program, and I hope that you will find it valuable, both if you may have a disability or someone in your family may have a disability, as well as if you are the owner or operator of a small business. The ADA went into effect in 1990, and the Department of Justice provides regulatory guidelines to the ADA and also may bring large-scale litigation. But smaller-scale enforcement is left to private individuals, and that has been a problem, and we're going to talk about that. Throughout the state of California, but particularly in cities like Sacramento, San Francisco, San Diego, and Los Angeles, enforcement of the Americans with Disabilities Act has been litigated in courts against businesses, and since 2005, there have been over 4,800 lawsuits statewide. I think our discussion will talk a bit about that's been too much. Your Legal Rights is on this segment of the program, funded by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Additional funding is provided by the San Mateo County Bar Association, the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, and the Family Law Section of the State Bar. And what I'd like to do before we go to David Chu, President of the Board of Supervisors of San Francisco, I'd like you, Jason Gong, if you would, just to summarize very briefly what the ADA is.
Sure, Chuck. The ADA was a law passed by Congress in 1990, as you mentioned, and it was passed for the purpose of including persons with disabilities to allow them to get out in the public and enjoy all the accommodations that non-disabled people would have. Prior to that, they weren't able to get into movie theaters or just to complete tasks that you and I would normally take for granted. So legislation was passed in mind to increase access for persons with disabilities, and it made it It allowed persons with disabilities to seek the power of the court to compel businesses to make their facilities compliant.
And what we're going to do on this program, we're going to talk about some new proposed legislation from our legislature, the state legislature. We are also going to talk about what President David Chu of the Board of Supervisors has been working on. And David, are you there?
I sure am.
Hey, this is good, David. Nice to have you on the program. You have been involved with this for many years. As I understand it, at one point you were a small business owner. You were on a commission involved with at least the local ADA, as I understand it. You're the person behind the proposed ordinance to bring in some more protections and some things that have concerned people. What are you doing, and what if you would summarize for us what you've been doing and how this may affect small businesses and people who have disabilities in San Francisco?
Well, as you just said, in recent years in San Francisco and throughout the state of California, we have had literally thousands of small business owners and building landlords who have seen an enormous increase in ADA-related lawsuits. So since 2005, almost 5,000 cases have been filed statewide in San Francisco. This has meant that hundreds of mom-and-pop businesses on every commercial corridor have been sued, and some multiple times. And so I introduced legislation some months ago to really ensure that small business tenants and commercial landlords are spending their money to invest in these accessibility changes rather than giving their money to attorneys. And we just passed legislation this past week to really, I think, for San Francisco, take a number of steps to make sure that this happens.
And what are those? What basically are those steps?
So a number of things that we do. First and foremost, small business tenants and landlords, when they need to move forward with building applications and permit work, the city is now required to give them priority for that work. But just as importantly, we want to make sure that landlords and small business tenants are taking care of this work. And so my legislation, which was just passed, requires commercial landlords to address accommodation issues in common area spaces, to bring public restrooms, ground floor entrances, and exits into buildings into compliance. My legislation also requires that these tenants and landlords address their respective obligations in their leases. Really, we want to educate everyone that if they don't figure these issues out and negotiate the responsibilities between small business tenants and commercial landlords, likely a lawyer and an ADA plaintiff will force them to do that anyway. And so we want to make sure that in their leases they are working these out. And we also want to make sure that everyone is educated on this. So there is a provision in the legislation that requires the city to distribute information in multiple languages, because what we have found is that many small businesses, particularly within immigrant communities, have been subjected to these lawsuits.
How do you distribute it? What is the plan for distribution?
Well, fortunately, we have on our show tonight, Regina Dick-Andresi, who heads up our city's Office of Small Business, who is responsible shortly for distributing this notice in multiple languages regarding the local, state, and federal disability access laws that apply to businesses in San Francisco and throughout California.
Let me just ask this. I understood that the mayor was, and I'm not up to date with exactly what has happened, but I understood that the mayor Lee, was supposed to at least be presented with this and to sign it. Has he done that yet?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, we pass many pieces of legislation every week, and I was actually going to reach out to the mayor's staff to find out exactly when he was going to sign this. I do understand that he will sign this,
okay.
And I very much appreciate all the work that my colleagues, Regina Dick-Andresi's Office of Small Business, and Small Business Advocates did, along with advocates for disabled communities, as well as folks who care about making sure that we are enforcing our accommodation laws. We're making sure that storefronts and places of public accommodation are accessible to our disabled, and doing it in a way that hopefully is not going to line the pockets of those handful of attorneys who have really been driving the enormous explosion of these types of lawsuits.
You know, David, with the proposals that you have put together and waiting for Mayor Lee to sign, what is it that is going to encourage small business owners, operators, to want to take the aggressive approach and make these changes without some attorney either sending them a letter or going by and having someone who maybe has a disability go in there, and it's very obvious why they're going in there to kind of test the waters for where we're going with a potential lawsuit? What is going to encourage a small business owner to want to take the initiative to make these changes?
Well, first and foremost, with regards to those common areas and buildings, my legislation makes it clear that it is commercial landlords who are responsible, again, for those restrooms, entrances and exits. And if they don't do it and they get sued, they could be responsible for significant damages. Likewise, our legislation requires that in new and amended real estate leases, that there be provisions to address these respective obligations. And again, if a landlord and a small business tenant chooses to do that, they suffer the risk that they could be subject to a lawsuit that will require them to pay much more than the expense of dealing with the accommodation in the first place.
And with respect to the San Francisco law that is expected to be signed by the mayor, if someone doesn't respond to the San Francisco law and is sued, that small business owner could not only be sued with respect to violations of the San Francisco law, but also with respect to the ADA or even the California law on the ADA. Is that right?
Absolutely. There are three levels of laws that govern here, and the issue has been federal law has been used by these plaintiffs to go after thousands of small businesses around the state.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these business owners and business tenants have no idea of what their responsibilities are under the law. And so what we're trying to do in San Francisco is really educate our small business community, educate our building landlord community, and really, as strongly as we can, push them to resolve these issues and hopefully bring their spaces to compliance before a lawyer does it and win significant damages while bringing the lawsuit.
Are there any statistics as to what the average lawyer's cost might be in defending a small business, or is that something that has not yet been? Maybe Jason, you have that. Is there any statistic that, such as what the average range may be of a small business owner having to incur an attorney's expense or an attorney's fee in defending one of these lawsuits?
Sure. I can speak from personal experience and talking to colleagues who handle this sort of litigation that the cost can range as low as anywhere from $5,000 to upwards of $10,000 and more. And this is just in terms of legal costs, what they would be paying their own attorney to defend their interest. This would not include the fee-shifting part of the litigation, which would require owners to pay the plaintiff's lawyer as well in order to get a settlement.
Ah,
if you add that to the pot, then you're looking at somewhere over $20,000. And the other cost is, I refer to as a hidden cost, Chuck, is that there's an additional cost of remediation. In other words, the price of making your place compliant.
Oh, sure.
You add that on, depending on the scale of the work that you have to do, you're looking somewhere from $40,000 to $50,000 potentially.
So in other words, is this correct that the average remediation, at least as far as San Francisco is concerned, of small business owners is somewhere between $40,000 to $50,000 by remediation? That's the work that needs to be done to make it compliant, the place compliant with the ADA.
It kind of depends on the scope of what you're looking at. I would say on average, to do the simple, we call them simple fixes.
Yeah.
They're probably looking at around between $5,000 to $10,000.
I see.
If you add on to something like a bathroom remodel, then you're looking at potentially more, double that cost, I would say.
I see. All right. Okay. Well, that's obviously for small business owners, that's a lot of money.
It really is.
So, and it's a lot of money if you're paying a lawyer somewhere in the neighborhood to defend you $5,000 to $10,000, and then you may be hit with having to reimburse the plaintiff's attorney. That could be a lot of bathrooms.
It's a lot of bathrooms.
Couldn't it? Yeah, yeah. Regina, what? How do you, you know, I asked David, how is this information going to be communicated, is going to be delivered to people in the community, especially persons who perhaps do not speak English. There are a lot of people who don't speak English who have businesses, small businesses in San Francisco. How are you going to distribute this information and make sure that people understand what's going on?
The first requirement is going to be on the landlord. So at the time, under Supervisor Chu's legislation, there is a requirement for the landlord to provide a notice to the prospective tenant or at the renewal of the lease. And the landlord will also be required to provide them the brochure that our office is putting together in the multiple languages. So that's the first requirement. We will also be working to distribute it through our office, through our merchants associations, and our business economic development organizations as well.
Mm-hmm. I hope we didn't lose David Chu. David, you still there? We lost him. Can you try to get him? I don't know what happened to David, but that's the magic of trying to do something with someone calling in, because the gremlins love it. All right, let's do this. While we try to get David, well, maybe he had to go. We just had with us David Chu, who is the president of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, and David had a number of other things to do this evening. So, David, I think you were with us as long as you could be. Thank you very much for joining us and telling us what the legislation that you have been sponsoring will do. Let's talk a bit now, if you would, about the new recent state legislation referred to as SB 1186. Let's talk about what that does and what it is that may make a difference, may encourage people to be more responsive to this. And I understand, Regina, you're quite knowledgeable about this.
Well, I would actually like to defer to Jason Gong.
All right, Jason, you're up, my friend.
I'm on the hot seat. Wonderful.
Does the seat feel warm? Is it getting warmer?
It's warming up, but I can take it.
Okay. What are some of the changes? I know there's something here where if a small business defendant, and a small business is defined as having 25 or fewer employees, and your gross is no more than $3.5 million in gross receipts. And if a small business defendant could have minimum statutory damages reduced to $2,000 from $4,000, what does that small business owner have to do?
Well, it is, if I can just kind of generally paint broad strokes here, it really is an incentive for small businesses to act in good faith and to comply with the required law.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, Chuck, you find that small business owners who aren't aware of their obligations, they tend to sort of save it for another day.
Well, that's mañana.
Exactly.
Isn't that it?
And, exactly.
Yeah.
And the legislation is there to encourage small business owners to get out ahead of the curve, make the changes voluntarily, hire someone like a certified access specialist to come in and survey your property, identify all the known problems, and then put a plan together and address those plans. You implement the plans, and if you should so unfortunately be hit with a lawsuit in the process of putting the plan into putting a remediation plan into work, you can then claim to offset what you would normally be hit for, $4,000, it'll cut it in half to $2,000. But you have to have you have to qualify for those incentives first. Another part of the legislation allows a small business to cut the damages from $4,000 to $1,000. So it kind of depends on the circumstances. You have to meet the incentives that the legislation requires first before you can claim those incentives.
Now, is this something that the average person, assuming they get in their language the information about both the local law, the San Francisco law, as well as the state law, is this something that the average small business owner can understand and do on his or her or their own, or is it really going to require that they have the assistance, at least to some degree, of an attorney giving them some direction?
Right. I think that it's going to require a little bit of direction from the attorney to get through all the legalese, but basically, as I view it, it is a huge incentive for small businesses to voluntarily comply with their obligations under the ADA and related access mm-hmm. laws. Mm-hmm. If you're in the process of doing that, the law recognizes that you're trying to act in good faith. You just haven't quite completed all the work yet. And if you should be hit with a lawsuit at that moment, then you can claim incentives to cut the damages down, because really the legislation is a goal from the legislature to try to balance the interests of the community, the disabled community, with small businesses. They don't want to water down the rights of the disabled mm-hmm. To gain damages for legitimate cases, and they at the same time don't want to put small businesses out of business by sure. imposing harsh penalties on
well,
them.
Well, one of the problems has been, and I think that this legislation, state legislation, is one of the major things is to stop the multiple damages that a small business may have. Isn't that true?
Right.
In other words, persons, and I don't want to make it sound like, you know, this is kind of some kind of a setup thing, but I think there are aspects of a setup where someone who's disabled will go into a small business multiple times, historically speaking, and for each time that disabled person goes into the business and there is some accommodation that needed to be made that has not been made, that's a violation.
Right.
It's potentially, under the current law, 4,000 each time.
4,000
each
right? time. That's correct, Chuck.
Yeah. Can I add one thing?
Oh, please, Bassam, please.
I just wanted to mention that to get your business compliant before any lawsuits, there is a tax code. Tax code 44 gives you $5,000 each year, which covers the inspection by the certified access specialist.
Is this a credit? A $5,000 credit?
It's totally credit. Mm-hmm. And covers as well what we call a readily achievable, the small things that you could fix easily mm-hmm. and get your business close to compliant as possible before you get hit with a lawsuit.
Now, you're a certified access specialist.
Yes.
You're also an architect. Does someone, in your experience, can someone get the basic information of what to do if they go to the trouble of trying to find a certified access specialist? Or do you agree with Jason that certainly you need some direction, generally speaking, from an attorney?
It depends on the situation, but 90% the certified...
You sound like a lawyer.
90% the certified access specialist will provide you with a complete list of what you need to be doing. Now, if there is action, or if somebody served you with a letter or demand letter or these famous...
Demand letter, Ray, potential lawsuit.
Yes, it's like, you know, fix your place, otherwise I'm going to be suing you, reading between the lines, then definitely need a lawyer involved immediately.
Yeah.
But before that, without these letters, obtaining a survey will allow you to know exactly what you need to
How
be doing.
How does someone find a certified access specialist, generally speaking?
There is two ways. If they go to the small business office in San Francisco, they have a list of local certified access specialists.
Mm-hmm.
If they go to the Department of State Architect, there's a list of everybody in the state of California mentioned there with their phone numbers. And
Carol, you are the one who's put this together. Carol Kahn, who we did, by the way, we did this program or a program like this last year. For those of you who may listen to this, Your Legal Rights on a regular basis, Carol Kahn is the Director of Public Service Programs for the Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral and Information Service. Carol, what are some of the things that the Bar Association can do for people who say, gosh, I don't know that I can even afford the charges that attorneys have. What are you making available?
Yeah, thanks.
Not necessarily for free, but but to make it more palatable.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things certainly that the Bar Association has really, in conjunction with the Office of Small Business and Regina in particular, has really taken a partnership role in is trying to educate business owners and the merchant community, especially in San Francisco, to the extent possible, what their obligations are. Again, so many of these lawsuits have hit smaller mom-and-pop establishments where the owner is a non-English speaker, and we're finding in the various districts in San Francisco that there's a lot of complication that comes just from the layering of the linguistics and the cultural backgrounds. So one of the definite priorities for us at the Bar Association is try to to educate as best as possible in these partnerships, the merchant community in our local community. The Bar Association Lawyer Referral Program also has attorneys specifically trained in ADA compliance lawsuits, and they've been assisting businesses in San Francisco and the greater Bay Area. And for $35, you can consult with an attorney at their office and determine a course of action.
Now, that's for a half an hour consultation.
That's exactly right. So for, you know, a first step, if you're confused, you're not sure what this letter is that you got, it really doesn't cost very much to get a once through from an attorney to understand again what next step needs to be taken. And then that next step can really depend. It can be what we call a limited scope representation possibility.
Which means what?
Which is a form of representation where the attorney may handle a certain few aspects as the process is going forward, while the owner may handle some other of those needed aspects on their own.
It's kind of a team effort.
It's more of a partnership that
where
way.
Where you don't put everything, you don't give everything to the lawyer to do so that you don't have an enormous number of lawyer hours at $300 or $400 an hour.
Yeah, that's right. And I do think also lawyers are, at least through the Bar Association, have been pretty compassionate as to what it is that that's happening in the city and tried to obviously create as affordable a plan for the business owner if they're really embroiled in serious litigation. So obviously the lawyer can also provide full scope representation.
Carol, let me ask you this. In that, as you know, this program is distributed statewide. We're live on the in the Bay Area for an hour. We're live on the internet at www.kalw.org for an hour. We record the first half hour and we send it out to a number of stations, including actually the radio bilingue group of stations throughout California, which is quite a number. If someone listens to this, some small business owner hears this program down south in Southern California, is there any way that they can call your office and find out, can you help me find somebody who's doing this kind of stuff, either a lawyer or a certified access specialist in my area? Is that possible or not?
Yeah, actually, if we're happy to take that phone call. I mean, there are 58 counties in California,
right.
And most all of them have Bar Association referral programs, so we can direct that person to the appropriate county.
So there is some help. And Regina, what were you going to say?
Well, I also wanted to note that on our office website, which is the sfgov.org/OSB, we have a comprehensive page that outlines the different laws that govern disability access, information to the, as Bassam said, certified access specialists, a guide to how to hire and a certified access specialist, the tax credit environments, and the connection to the SF Bar Association.
Let me give that again. sfgov.org/OSB for Office of Small Business.
Yes, and on the left-hand side, there will be a section that says ADA compliance and small business.
Okay.
And I have received word from other certified access specialists throughout the state and other entities that they are now directing small businesses to our site because we are one of the few places that have put that information together for small businesses.
This is wonderful. This is wonderful to know. So if you're a small business owner out there and you are trying to find out, I don't care wherever you are in the state of California, and you want to try to get some help in connecting, one of the things to do is go to your computer and dial in sfgov.org/OSB, which stands for Office of Small Business, and that'll give you some help. And also, if in your area contact the County Bar Association, they have a lawyer referral service, and they can also help you by connecting you with an attorney who is involved with the ADA for half an hour consultation. And statewide, most Most of the lawyer referral services charge $35 for a half an hour consultation. We are getting, I'm sorry to say, there's just not enough time in doing so many of these programs, but we are getting to the end of the statewide version of the program. Let me suggest to those of you who are listening to the program live, whether it's in the Bay Area or on the Internet, we will continue for another half hour. This is your opportunity at that point to call in with your question, your comment, whatever it is. And I want to mention to all of you that at the end of this month, and that would be on September 26th, we will do our regular Call a Lawyer night. And that number you might want to put down, 1-800-525-9917. All right, it is 729 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KALW in San Francisco. What we're going to do, and don't go away, we're going to take a couple of minutes here, and that's all we're going to do, because I would like you to, if you are not someone who is yet pledged for KALW, you love what we're doing. You feel that we're doing something worthwhile. If this program has been of any benefit to you at all, and I hope it has, I've been doing this for 28 years, and if you say, no, it's never done anything for me, then turn somewhere else, if you would. But certainly I have done my best to try to provide to you very basic, important information in a whole bunch of areas of the law. And we do, as you know, usually the last Wednesday of the month, we do Call a Lawyer Night, where I have a number of attorneys who show up. They've been wonderful with their time, very gracious with their time to answer questions off the air. So I've got a couple of things for you. For those of you who feel you would like to come and join me for one of the programs, whether it's when we do Call a Lawyer Night, usually at the end of the month, the last Wednesday of the month, or if you don't want to meet so many lawyers because they scare you, you can come and be with me in the studio, and I will even serve you pizza that you would like. I will call you and say, what kind of pizza do you like? And I will have it for you. We have wonderful pizza that usually I serve to the lawyers for Call a Lawyer, so I'll do it for you. So if you'd like to do that and you feel comfortable in pledging the station $120, please do so and say that you would like to come and be with me on one of the programs in the future, and that's 1-800-525-9917. The other thing I'd like to do... Oh, who's that? Is that Bruno? It's Bruno, my lovely dog. No, it's, you know who it is? It's really Ron Rohde, the attorney Ron Rohde, who actually has a cough.
His bark is worse than his bite.
but here's what it's all about. And Ron and his brother, Michael, put together... Man, they're dropping pots and pans. Ron is an intellectual property attorney. He's also a lemon law attorney. Yeah. He's been here. Yeah. He's a noisy bunch. He and his brother are awfully noisy. In any event, they have put together a wonderful CD entitled Burglar Deterrent Home Protection Audio CD. And that's what you're hearing right now. So if you were going to leave your home and you wanted the burglar, who's your neighbor next door, who wants to come into your house, to think that you're there, you would want this CD. And you can have it repeated. And Ron will bark for you. He'll drop pots and pans for you or whatever. It's a wonderful CD, by the way. And so if you'd like to pledge to the station $70 and you call in and say, I would like to get the Ron Rohde CD because I want to hear Ron bark some more, we'll send you the CD. We have 10 of them. And so if you're willing to pledge $70 and you would like a Ron Rohde Burglar Deterrent Home Protection Audio CD, he certainly is an annoying guy to listen to, isn't he? His bark and what he talks about.
Probably scare quite a few burglars away hearing all that noise
in the house.
I
hope he doesn't scare his clients like that, you know?
He probably does.
In any event, it's 1-800-525-9917 if you would like to call in and pledge. Do you have any sage comments, Joanne, that you want to do before we start the program again?
Yes, a $75 pledge will get you this CD of burglar deterrent sounds. It's called Safety Sounds, and you're hearing barking dogs and faucets running and people
call
talking.
Call the plumber. Call that plumber.
And it'll scare many a burglar away. Yeah. Chuck is a deputy district attorney in Palo Alto. And
well, actually, San Mateo County.
San Mateo
I
County.
I live in Palo Alto, yeah.
And I'm sure a device like this will make Chuck's job easier.
Oh, it will just make me. It's so easy. By the way, we have a couple of volunteers in the conference room. Annette Denmark. Pardon me, Annette from Denmark, and then Barbara from Sweden. By the way, the note here is they're not available for dates, but they're to take your call. So if you want to talk to either to Barbara or Annette and want to make a pledge, it's 1-800-525-9917. Let's do this, Joanne. Let's go back to the program, okay? All right, for those of you who have questions about the ADA, and primarily both the federal law as well as the proposed state law. The number here is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. Let me tell you who's here. We did have David Chu, president of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, with us for the first few minutes of the program. David has many, many different obligations that he has to go to, so he's not with us now. But in the studio with me are Regina Dick-Andrezzi, Executive Director of the San Francisco Office of Small Business, Bassam Altwal, Architect and Certified Access Specialist, Jason Gong, an attorney who advises and defends business and property owners sued for alleged ADA violations, and Carol Kahn, the woman who actually has put this together, and she's done a beautiful job. She's the Director of the Public Service Programs for the Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral and Information Service. So if you have a question, a comment, or whatever, and you would like to talk to my guests, please don't hesitate. It's 1-415-841-4134. Let me just do this before we continue with actually Ruth Ann on the air. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KLW listeners like you. Excuse me. I get all choked up when I think about KLW. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. Call your own during normal business hours. They'll do their best to find someone experienced in the area, whatever it may be, and they'll set up a half an hour consultation for you with the attorney, usually in the attorney's office. Unless if you do have a disability, they will do their best to try to hook you up with the attorney for a half an hour consultation by phone. Depending on the county, it may be a low of $25, maybe a high of $35 for most counties throughout California. Ruth Ann, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi there.
Hi, go ahead.
I wanted to ask a question and express a concern.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned that no one on there is representing one of the major disability rights legal organizations, all of which wrote letters opposing SB 1186. That would be Disability Rights Education and Defense Fund, Californians for Disability Rights, CDR, Disability Rights California, DRC, the California Federation of Independent Living Centers, CFILC. They all unanimously opposed this legislation. And what I learned about the legislation when I did my research, I'm a person with a disability, mm-hmm. is that there were a raft of, shall we say, opportunistic, shall we say, serial lawsuits by people who were just taking a strip of businesses on a street and just suing them willy-nilly, some without having ever been to them before. And I think from what I heard, the business owners got all bent out of shape and ran to the legislators and said, you've got to help us here, we're getting screwed. And they hastily crafted this, I don't know if it was hastily, but crafted this legislation, I think, in response to the pressure from the business community, who is their electoral base, And my feeling is, A, that if there are attorneys who are misbehaving and acting opportunistically, that's why you have a California Bar Association. I mean, that is the agency organization that is set up to regulate.
Ruth Ann, let me get some comments for you. But one of the things that we're doing on this program is we are not debating 1186, because 1186 has gone through the legislature.
Right, it has passed.
Yeah, it has passed. We are not debating it. We're talking about what the changes are. But in light of your comments and your concerns about this, let me get some comments for you. And I do appreciate the fact that you have called and you have, set up what you think are some possible problems with this legislation. But let me get some comments. And if you don't mind taking the answer, if you'll turn your radio back up, I appreciate your calling.
Oh, thank you. And just to add, the question would be, if you wanted to pose it as a question, why did SB 1186, for the California Unruh Civil Rights Act, which covers swaths and swaths of people of all sorts of minorities in California, the only group that has been singled out in this way by the Unruh Act, by the limiting of lawsuits, is people with disabilities?
That's a good point. Okay.
That's my question.
Yeah, all right. Let me see if I can get some answers for you. Thank you for calling. Who would like to start on this?
Well, Chuck, I'll take a shot at that.
Jason Gong. Okay.
Just in response to the call, I think that what she said is a legitimate point, and I think that it's a very hot topic. A hot button issue is a hot topic. It's been current for the last several years, and you have divided interests. You have the community, disabled community, who feels very strongly that they don't want the rights watered down, as they have perceived. And on the business side, you don't want businesses to go out of business. So the legislature had to balance those interests, and this is where they came out with. So to answer the caller's other point, as far as why does it seem that the group that's targeted here, so to speak, are the persons with disabilities? Why is there legislation limiting their rights? Well, that's in response, if I may say, that's in response to, on the other hand, the business community. If there was no stop to opportunistic lawsuits and lawyers that go about launching these lawsuits, you wouldn't have small businesses anymore. Mm-hmm. And so the legislature stepped in and said, we're going to try to incentivize compliance, voluntary compliance. And if in an unfortunate situation you had a business that was caught during the process of complying, but they get hit with a lawsuit because it's not 100% compliance, then they ought to be recognized and afforded some leniency. So rather than being hit with $4,000 per occurrence of violation, they would be hit with half that amount. And that's the balance the legislature decided was fair. You don't get, the original legislation, if I might just add very quickly, when it was introduced, it called for a safe harbor provision that said a right to correct. So the original legislation proposed that if a business was able to comply fully within 100, I think they had 120 days, then there would be no right to sue. So to give a little perspective where it first started to where it ended up, that's a balance that the legislature struck. And that's pending before the governor right now.
All right. And Bassam, I know you wanted to talk about this.
No, I just want to mention that the goal is to enhance accessibility and make places more accessible to everybody, especially people with disability. Since 1990, this goal has not been reached. Mm-hmm. And the legislation, my thought is, how can we do something to make businesses become more accessible? And this, I think it helps giving incentives to businesses to become accessible, which at the other end provide accessibility for people with disability who couldn't find it before unless they sue. Mm-hmm. So there was...
you feel that there is some positive thing as opposed to Ruth Ann's concern about this.
Which would help every person with disability if businesses become compliant.
All right. Yes, and Regina, please.
A couple things that I think are also important with 1186 and why Supervisor David Chu crafted his legislation in the manner is about education. One thing that businesses, to get their business open, they have to go before the planning department and the California and our Department of Building Inspection. They work with architects. They work with other entities who are far more knowledgeable about the accessibility requirements than they are, and they are informing them. And the California Building Code has what they call the valuation threshold. And Bassam can...
What does that mean?
And the valuation threshold is if you do tenant improvements under $136,000, you may apply for a hardship waiver.
20%.
And you are required to spend 20% of the amount of what you're spending towards accessibility access. Now, what I've come across...
But a hardship waiver means what?
The hardship waiver means that...
Do you need me to explain?
Will you please explain it?
California Building Code 1134B requires that if you are remodeling an existing building, and this existing building, you spend less than $136,000, 20% of the $136,000 has to go into accessibility items like fixing doors, bathrooms, stuff like that. The main problem with that, in my own view, that the federal law doesn't say anything about it. We have a problem between California code and the federal law. And that's where the certified access specialists come in here, is to navigate all these different codes and explain them to people. So you could spend 20%, obtain your permit, but you're still not being compliant, and somebody comes in and sues you.
I see.
So that's where the 20% comes from. But I want to mention one thing that, you know, before the show I was dying to mention.
Oh, sure.
It's you know, if you want to enforce, assuming you're going to go for a permit, you want to enforce the California Building Code. By enforcing California Building Code, you definitely have some differences from the federal law of ADA. But to obtain your permit, you have to go with the California Building Code. Now, since you met California Building Code, thus does not meet the federal code, there's another civil code in Section 54C in California says that if you don't meet the federal code, you get sued. So you either could get your permit or you could get sued. And that's where the certified access specialists come in here to actually navigate that and guide into compliance. California recognized that, and they are working. This 1st of August, a new amendment to the code came out to meet the federal code, so we will be both going on the same track.
That's what 1186 includes.
That is California Building Code. That is something completely different than 1186.
Okay. All right. And there, Regina, you had something else.
Well, and so, and as Bassam kind of explained, that there are these different nuances. And so business owners are relying on experts to inform them and give them correct advice. And we have seen architects who have informed their businesses that they're working with that in receiving the waiver, under the valuation threshold under the California Building Code, they are informing their client that they are accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So businesses have gotten their permits and thought that they were in compliance with accessibility and under the California Building Code, yes, but not under the federal. One other element that I do want to add about 1186 is that it is also going to require property owners to inform tenants when they sign a lease as to whether the property has received a certified access inspection. And so, again, working to try make sure that education is happening to the prospective business owner tenant about what is accessibility, what are some of the requirements, things that you can do to achieve accessibility, and then obviously, you know, prevent a lawsuit. But I just really would like to stress and to any business owners that are out there that businesses obtain insurance, and it's a good sort of risk management tool to get a certified access inspection and report do it now and don't wait for a letter or don't wait for a lawsuit.
The letter is essentially, I take it under the law, a warning that you're about to be sued? Is that the idea? And Carol, I know you wanted to say something.
Yeah, that commonly, I think, is the demand letter. Sometimes it's a notice. But I did want to point out in response also to the caller that 1186 also has a provision in it around, I guess, trying to track, if you will, some of the activities going on in the lawsuits. And the Bar of California is going to track and record demand letters. It says here that the bill is going to require an attorney to include their state bar license number in a demand letter and submit copies of the demand letter to the State Bar of California and the California Commission on Disability Access, and that'll be in effect until January 1st, 2016. So basically, the bill is going to require that the commission review and report on the demand letters and the complaints it receives so that there's some oversight, I think, by the State Bar.
So that if an attorney is churning lawsuits or whatever, the state bar will be
there's a little bit more direct notice now. Okay. About what's happening, right, with the attorney.
If you come back to this for a moment, you mentioned, and I'm not sure that I understand, and I think it's important in terms of your having brought it up, there is this hardship thing you were talking about, and what exactly does that mean from the small business person's standpoint? What is the hardship aspect and what does it do for them?
Actually, nothing.
Nothing. Okay. Personally,
I am against it. But the hardship is for somebody. Your building has to be compliant.
Yes.
And so the California Building Code came back. You know what? Maybe you cannot spend $200,000 to make your building compliant. So spend 20% of the amount of money that is less than $136,000 to provide any.
So that would be like $27,000.
Yeah, to provide any accessibility accommodation.
Yes.
But that still, at the same time, does not make your full building compliant. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, as Regina said, it tricks the building owner or the permit person that, hey, I am completely compliant, I'm fine, I got my permit.
But you're not.
But you're not.
I see.
And that's okay. What it throws them off.
Okay. All right. But what do they do if they cannot afford the full amount to make the building compliant under the ADA, whether it's San Francisco law, the state law, or the federal law? What do they do?
The ADA is very clear. The ADA requires that you do what is readily achievable.
Mm-hmm.
Readily achievable is something that you could do easily. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, moving a garbage can that is blocking a door is readily achievable. Mm-hmm. You don't know about it, but mm-hmm. it's creating a barrier to a person with disability. So if you do all the readily achievable things, you'll be fine.
But what if you need to spend a lot of money, and on a statewide basis, what if you need to spend a lot of money in making your restroom accessible? What do you do then?
If you can't, and that's where the hardship is, and you prove that you can't, you don't have to do it.
Really?
You do the readily achievable things into it.
That's very interesting. So even you're saying even under the Americans with Disabilities Act, the federal act, if you can prove that this is a hardship, you don't have to do it?
Well, the federal act requires you to do what the readily achievable and stops on the readily achievable. So fixing your bathroom, if it's not readily achievable, you are not required to do it.
Does that mean if you don't have the funds to be able to do that, that's a basis for not being readily
achievable?
Either
funds or structural hardship or impossibility of doing... All these kinds of things.
Very interesting. Well, certainly, if you as a small business owner are confronted with something like this, you would want to have the advice of, I think, both a certified access specialist as well as an attorney who is experienced in the ADA, give you some guidance. Otherwise, I think you're just possibly heading for hot water. So, all right, let me see. I guess, do we have, wait a minute. Is Ruth Ann back? Ruth Ann, you have 1 minute left. Go ahead.
This is for follow-up questions.
Sure, go ahead.
I've been working really hard for the past couple weeks to garner people to contact Jerry Brown to not sign this bill because I've been working so hard against it. And someone asked me a question, which I did not know the answer to.
Yeah.
Does this cover landlord-tenant for housing? I mean, would this potentially interfere with people wanting to get housing and not being able to because of it not being accessible, and then it might conflict with the Supreme Court?
Okay, so you're saying housing that might be rented, does that qualify under the terminology of commercial, okay?
Under 1186.
No, I understand what you're saying. All right, let me see if I can get some comments on that.
Quick answer.
Pardon?
If you can. Thank
yeah,
you very
yeah,
much.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, Ruth Ann, for coming back for that. That's a
oh,
good...
Oh, thank you. I'm yeah. sorry I was so upset before. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. All right, anyone have a comment? Jason?
I'll take a shot. I think the short answer is no.
Okay.
I think this legislation is aimed at public accommodations to
public find accommodations
public accommodations.
For commercial establishments, as opposed to,
housing,
let's say, a housing, a hotel, or
right.
whatever.
Right.
All right.
But some housing have public accommodation, like multi-units.
So, yeah.
So if they have the common space, the tenant approved common space, that might cover it, right?
When you say common space, what do you mean by
like
that?
Like the elevator, the stairs, the entrance, the parking, if they have
lot.
Parking.
Right.
Well, there you are. I mean, this is obviously a very complicated area. And if you, as a small business owner, wherever you are in the state of California, if you're confronted with this, I think at the very least, you contact your local county bar association, lawyer referral service, and see if you can't at least make an appointment to meet with an attorney who has experience in dealing with the Americans with Disabilities Act, because otherwise you don't want to be spending a lot of money having been sued. So that's my suggestion there. You know, we are going to have some final comments. I just wanted to let you know who my guests have been, because it's been a pleasure having them here again. Carol Kahn put this together. Carol is the director of the public service programs for the Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral and Information Service. Jason Gong, this is Jason's first time on the program. He's an attorney who advises and defends business and property owners sued for alleged ADA violations. You're out in Walnut Creek, are
yes,
you?
Yes, I am, Chuck. Yes.
Yeah. Was it much of a problem for you to come in tonight?
It was clear sailing past a toll, and then it hit gridlock on 101.
I'm glad you're here. We've got Regina Dick-Andrezzi, who's the executive director of the San Francisco Office of Small Business. And by the way, if you're interested in getting more information, you might want to go to the website. It's sfgov.org/OSB, which stands for Office of Small Business. Carol, is there any other number that you'd like people to use other than 986-1616?
It's 989-1616 for San Francisco, but,
yeah.
you know, again, in your local area, there's yeah. likely a program
right.
available.
And then our last participant in the program at the very end was David Chu, president of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. So I thank all of you very much for joining us. Did I? Oh, my gosh. I forgot Bassam. Oh, thank you. Thank you. And let me tell you, Bassam Altwal, Altwal, is an architect and certified access specialist. Thank you very much. And thank you, Carol, for kind of hinting at me. And she's got me by the neck. Chuck, don't forget Bassam. All right. I thank you all for joining us on the program. All right. Are you ready to okay, I'm going to tell you that this has been a very fine program that we have done here. And next week, I want to let you know that we are going to do a program on immigration law, an update on immigration law issues. My guest will be Antonio Nieres, a certified specialist in immigration and nationality laws. He's a member of the board of the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California. And so I think you may find it very interesting. We're going to talk about deferred deportation of those young people who came into this country undocumented. And what do we do now? Well, under President Obama's new law, we're going to give them a chance to stay here without deporting them. So that's what we're doing next week. Thank you very much for joining us on Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. Okay, all right. You have to stay with us. Don't leave the room. Don't leave the room. Leave your radio on. We do want you, if we have done something for you on this program, by that I mean any of the attorneys, myself, or Call a Lawyer Night, if you have not yet pledged to KLW, I ask that you do that. You know, this is a team effort. This is a station that does not have commercials. which is my kind of public radio, and I've been with the major public radio station also in this city. I think it's very important that we maintain this kind of public radio, and it depends on you. If you can afford to pledge something to the station, I guess, what is it? The basic pledge is $50, Joanne? Is that what it is? $50. If you would like to get one of Ron and Mike Rohde's burglar deterrent home protection audio CDs, Ron, you sound wonderful, Ron. Pledge $70 to KALW. That's 1-800-525-9917.
That's a yodeling dog there.
Can you imagine living next door to somebody who has this CD?
It'll scare many a burglar away.
Boy, I'll say. I think it'd scare your neighbors away. In any event, if you'd like one of the CDs and are willing to and can pledge $70 and call 1-800-525-9917, please do so. You can now speak with either Barbara from Sweden or Annette from Denmark, but they're here. They're here, and they're taking calls right now at 1-800-525-9917. Also, if you want to join me in the studio for one of the programs, or you want to come and be with us when we do Call a Lawyer Night and meet some of the attorneys who you have perhaps talked to for Call a Lawyer, please call and speak to either Barbara or Annette and let them know that. That would be for a pledge of $120. And I will order for you the pizza you like, and you can have a pizza dinner here while we're doing the program. And your kind of pizza, and I'll even have Perrier water for you, which I only give usually to the very beautiful people, the attorneys. But you'll be one of the beautiful people also. So if you'd like to do that, it's 1-800-525-9917. Anything else, Joanne?
A few people have called during this last hour of Your Legal Rights. I want to give a big, big thanks to Lewis Dorsey, who made a very generous pledge in honor of our senior announcer, Alan Farley, who's been with KALW on the air for almost 40 years.
Wow.
So we thank Lewis Dorsey very much for his pledge of support to KALW. We'd like to thank you as well at 800-525-9917, 800-KALW-917. You can make your pledge online at kalw.org, kalw.org. You know, Chuck, we don't have a lot of time to ask for people's support because we didn't interrupt your program at all.
Right.
We didn't go on and on at you for, you know, 10 minutes like they do on some of the other public radio stations. But show us that our no interruption pledge drive can work by calling in your pledge now at 800-525-9917 or pledging online at kalw.org. We have a few seconds left, Chuck.
Well, all I can say is that I love public radio. I love KALW. If you're listening to this station and do so on a regular basis, I'm assuming you love KALW. If you haven't yet pledged, please do so. I think the future of this station, the way we do things now, depends on the teamwork with you. And so I suggest, please, if you haven't pledged, do so. 1-800-525-9917.
This is 91.7 KALW, San Francisco.
Hello, I'm Carol Off.
Good evening, I'm Jeff Douglas. This is As It Happens. Tonight,
rage in Benghazi. An attack on the American consulate in the Libyan city leaves four dead and residents unsure about what's next.
Hope